Hello again, my little Para-X ghosties, and welcome to the 23rd episode of VMR, Visions Magazine Radio. Over the last few weeks, Joseph was taking Natasha's radio show into a new and different direction. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but insolent just the same. And watching his every move with great scrutiny, with my intent of strict discipline focused on his buttocks.
Ow, my buttocks.
He is the one whose breath smells like cigarettes, not Natasha. For that, I will make him my forest skimp.
That felt fabulous.
Quit staring at my box of chocolates. You are making them melt. Run, you little bastard, run. On tonight's show, guest co-host Mr. Gary Kanji continues to reach his breaking point. Joseph, get down on your knees and remove this glass. Natasha is at her breaking point. Tara and Joseph will review the film Dear Mr. Gacy, starring nice actor William Forsythe. He was the nicest meanie that Natasha has personally met. He needs no discipline. Joseph will introduce a new semi-weekly news column exclusively on the VMR. 10 Minutes with Peter Kling. Is the sky falling? You betcha. Shut up. All this and so much more in high-definition sound coming up now on VMR. Shut up!
Good evening to all you Para-X ghosties. This is William Forsythe, and you're listening to Joe and Tara on Visions Magazine Radio. Two of the biggest devil's rejects I know.
I
want
to know who you're meeting in the cemetery.
I don't have to tell you anything!
Para-X Land, and welcome to the 23rd episode of VMR Visions Magazine Radio. Tara, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to start another episode, God knows why, but we're taking it in a different direction here. As I said the last couple weeks, and Tasha's trying to kick my ass and take control of the show over again, Joe's not going to let that happen. I think you all know that. A couple different departments we got here, very successful last year, got a lot of positive feedback on it, is Gary Kanji's Breaking Point. Again, just for everyone that didn't hear that, it's called Breaking Point. I think you're all listening now, aren't you? God, I love that sound effect. Gary and me are good friends, and I wanted him to be part of the show because he's one of those unsung heroes. And that's his topic. If you recall, Tara, when me and Gary were bantering about last week's show, after the show, I called him up and says, okay, this is what we want to do. And, you know, there's so many avenues. I mean, there's so many voices left unheard. You don't have to be a Paris celebrity to have morals, to have better, no evidence, of course, of anything, but, you know, findings, crazy results, EVPs, than any showboat that's out there. You know, you don't have to be invited, you know, to conventions. You don't have to have a network behind you and producers telling you how to present your findings on being a paranormal investigator. Gary's a grassroots guy, you know, and that's what's really cool, you know, and he reaches his breaking point. More so than most people, let me put it that way. Me and him are pretty compatible on that one, so it's a great new department. I'm very proud of it. Tara's not too enthusiastic about it, but it's my show. Secondly, new department, and this is kind of like Tara's baby, so we're kind of having a little bit of meeting on the minds. I'm not trying to be a dictator here. Well, actually, I am. I am trying to control the show. Everybody's first VMR, then the world. Tara, go ahead.
Everybody's got to be good at something.
And that is me. Dictatorship? Yeah, I'll put that on a resume any day. Peter Kling, which is a Tara Ciampa discovery for Visions magazine. In fact, he was brought on board with the magazine, and I hijacked him for my radio show. This will be his third appearance. And I tell you what, if you listen to Peter Kling on our previous shows, you go on to visionsradio.podomatic.com. That's our archive site. High def sound. You'll hear all the past shows and everything, and I'm sure you should all be downloading them and probably bootlegging the show on CDs at these Paracons. But if you're not, you know, why aren't you? Get my name out there. The thing is with Peter, he's great to listen to. You ask him one question, he'll give you a half-hour answer. We have a new department. I'm entitling it 10 Minutes with Peter Kling. You want to know about the end of the world, you want to know about prophecy, you want to know when you're going to die, and how to survive it, you want to listen to Pete. Tara, you want to chime in on Pete? He's your bud.
Well, I always follow Peter on Facebook, and also have his, you know, his actual book. It's available in hardcover. PeterKling.com is where you want to find him as well. But he's an authority on a lot of different subjects.
Oh, he's boy, yeah.
Chemistry background. He's very intellectual. And also,
let me cut you off. You're absolutely right. Every time I listen to Pete, I feel stupid. It's just like, you know, I can't think out of the box. He takes information, deciphers it, and lays it out timeline-wise, and backs it up with other events and say, well, this is happening because this is happening. Thrown in with a lot of conjecture, and may I go so far as saying almost conspiracy theory, but, you know, it's a theory. It's a theory, Tara.
Right. He's very interesting, informed, educated, and he has mastered, you know, like prophecies relating to the Bible. So I just never grow bored of Peter Kling. He always has something going on. You
know? And this is going to be, this is not going to be weekly like Breaking Point. Again, it's not going to be weekly like Breaking Point. Pete, I'm going to bring on about every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, or if there's a major world event, we're going to touch base with him. Or if I start running out of grain and bottled water and my generator is dying, I'll be the first one to give him a call and let you all know how to survive this catastrophe we have here on the planet known as life. Tara, again, we wanted to make it very short here. Again, there are many changes. This radio show itself would not exist without me and, of course, Visions Magazine, which is Tara. Tara, you got some changes, of course. We're going to do it very briefly. Tell people about the Changes of Visions magazine.
Okay, we have a site I'd like to direct you to called visionsparamag.com. And let me tell you how this site works.
Please do.
Well, what's lives on this site is all kind of different true accounts of the paranormal, and a lot of names you're going to recognize on there. Right in the chat room, you know, we're usually seeing Medium Lynn Olson. She writes.
Hi, Lynn.
She's going to write about Waverly Forest, Room 52. That's on the website.
That's a Waverly article.
Most of us are familiar with Rick Hayes from the movie The Possessed. He writes Living a Psychic Life. There's also articles on prophecy, animal communication, letters to the shaman. There is a lady drawing demons in a very unique and very highly skilled artist.
We discussed that last week, the paranormal sketch artist. It looked really cool.
Rob Demarest became part of the magazine. He came to us.
Former Ghost Hunters International investigator coming to Terrors magazine.
Medium Justin Mullins, Images from Beyond, is his latest article. He's written for us before. I write about astrology, Gemini's up there, tarot. I'll be putting that article up very soon about the Wheel of Fortune card. I'm also going to incorporate my natural remedies into the site, so that's kind of like a bonus for you. So you can purchase two different types of memberships that will give you the password to unlock these articles. You can do a 6-month membership for $20. You can do a full year for $40. Sometime I have giveaways. Right now, you'll get a free angel reading. If you purchase a full year membership for $40, I will give you one of my angel readings.
Articles so good, they must be password protected. This pretty much be some hot shit you got here. This is some good stuff, right?
It's very unique. I handpick my writers. I don't accept everything that comes into me. It has to have value. It has to have, you know, some drama to it, but it has to be true, believable. A lot of these things you're going to learn from them.
That's true. I got about 15 rejection letters from Tara herself on everything I submit. So it's pretty much she's in control. You're the dictator of your own magazine. You have your own agenda. I have mine. Well, having said that, and one of what things a lot of people don't understand is how dedicated you are. You are ridiculously dedicated. In fact, 2 weeks ago when I was talking about obsession, I look at this lady right next to me here, and it's all about her. The thing is, you can find her very easily on Facebook, which you're very popular on Facebook. You're obviously my number one fan, that goes without saying. But Tara has a lot of fans. In fact, I took some notes before I got on the radio here today. 3,000, let me look at my damn notes here, 3,896 people dig Tara Ciampa. What do you feel about that? That's pretty cool. I mean, it only took, what, 2 years? 2 years, you got 4 grand people. The cutoff's 5 grand, so you better get in fast, otherwise Tara is not going to like you.
It's nice to have a fan base that big. It's a lot to keep up with. Recently, what's happening is the more word is getting out about my jewelry, so I'm getting custom orders.
Yeah, I know. It was so popular last week, it took you away from the radio show. I remember that, but you're back now.
That happens, yeah. The latest thing I've been building is spirit animal necklaces, some unique crystals.
That was gone in, you posted that on Facebook, it was gone in an hour. I totally remember that. It was gone in an hour.
So, yeah, because it's a passion of mine, I like the jewelry, and it's turned into, you know, more of a business now, but...
Well, what's really cool about your jewelry, Tara, is you're taking your spirituality, and you're putting it into 3D objects that people can relate to, and it's almost like a bonding experience. I mean, this is mystical jewelry. You're dealing with crystals and little trinkets of spirit animals and everything like that. Your stuff is rather unique, based on our audience right here. I mean, this is... the audience you have on Facebook, the audience you have here right in front of you on Para X, I mean, you're building their jewelry.
Yeah, I've gotten some really busy times at the conventions. You know, depends on the type of convention, but the jewelry aspect of it can get pretty busy. But I love it. I like it. I like coming up with new concept, new designs, looking for new stones, and people will just sometime come to me with their concept and see if I can build it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You've had some custom orders, you know, and it's just like, this is so pretty. I got to build one for myself because the idea was so good. And it's like, boom, it's out the door. It's a one of a kind. They're all one of a kinds. All the crystals are one of a kind. Your jewelry, everything is handcrafted. I see her making it right here, and it's ridiculously affordable, let me tell you, because you do put your blood, sweat, and tears on here. You're really working, and, you know, under the conditions we have here with the lighting and everything, I don't know how you do it sometimes. I mean, my eyesight is shot to hell, and how you're pulling this off, I'll never know. You thread those needles and everything, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's not the most ideal lighting situation, but, you know, it gets done, and I have the idea in my head, and I build it, and sometimes it leads to something else. I started off with some lithium quartz necklaces. Now I'm just like, oh, I need to, you know, make this design into a little bracelet, and just combining different things. And, you know, like Joe said, I wear some of my own designs, and sometimes people will even ask about them when they
see them. It's rare I see you wear anybody else's designs. Now you're your own best advertisement.
That's true, because, you know, the stones all do different things. Some attract angels. A lot of these energies from these stones, you know, they get into your aura, so they affect your mood. They affect a lot of things about you. They're more powerful than people imagine. But, you know, I'm friends with a lot of spiritual people, so they understand the power of the stones, and that's why I get, you know, I deal with stones that are a little more unique and rare than, you know, you go into your metaphysical store, and you always have your standard stones, but I go on a search for things that are a little more rare, have certain properties to them. And
all right, Tara, I don't mean to cut you off, but with all due respect, I do have a radio show to produce here. This is not an hour-long Tara by Tara commercial here. I'm sure everybody's very interested. I was fascinated. Anything else, final seconds here, so I can get on with the rest of the radio show, please?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody what my jewelry website is. It's Etsy.com/shop/mysticalgems.
How do you spell Etsy?
E-T-S-Y. I'll type it in the chat for everybody.
That would help, because I don't know what I'm talking about here. All right. Main thing is, okay, we got Tara out of the way. If I can keep her glued to the microphone, note to self, order ball and chain so she doesn't run off and start building jewelry for everybody. So you can get the damn show done with me. You are a co-host. All right, you know, back to the dictatorship. That's my role. I'm going to bring on Peter Kling here in a second. Again, what else can we say about Peter Kling? You know, this is his 10 minutes. You know, there's a lot to learn out there. It's the end of the world. It's prophecy. It's aliens. It's doomsday, which I'm looking forward to passionately. So without further ado, let's get Peter Kling on here with 10 minutes with Peter Kling. I'd like to welcome Peter Kling to Peter Kling's 10 Minutes. This is going to be Pete's forum. Basically, he's my Walter Cronkite of the world today, letting everybody know out there, you know, how much time we got left. Pete, how you doing today, pal?
Great, Joe. How are you today?
Surviving. So far. Maybe I got another day left. Glad we're getting a reception down in your underground bunker. You know, obviously I am piggybacking on a harp signal, so I can get right into your bunker with good signal here.
No doubt. No doubt at all. Harp's been on a lot of people's minds here lately. We're going to talk just a little bit about it as well. The Earth is in some interesting situations. We've noticed lots of earthquakes going on. We've seen all sorts of strange weather. The Midwest has been flooded out. And something which has kind of slid by the radar scope for some people, but a lot of people have been following this very closely, is this comet Elnin. It was discovered by a Russian astronaut, or somebody over in Russia there who was playing with a telescope, and his last name is Elnin, but it's an interesting thing. It's spelled E-L-E-N-I-N. E-L-E is life limit, Earth limit, I'm sorry. I've got the exact acronym how it goes, but it's a Earth life eliminating event.
Ooh.
So, that's kind of where this is starting to come up from. NASA has said this is going to create about as much of a problem as a mosquito on the windshield of your car. Other people have said this is going to cause really, really big problems with us here, and they give evidence of their findings. Now, what's interesting is that every time Elnin, the Earth, and the Sun align, we have a major earthquake, including the one in Japan at Fukushima, which was a 9.0. Now, a lot of people all of a sudden jumped up and said, oh, Karp did this. We have a Harp signal before the earthquake. We see this is going on. Wait a minute. Hold on. There have been over 13,000 earthquakes off the coast of Japan since March 11th.
Okay.
And during that, so we've got a lot of stuff that's going on, and those earthquakes are happening under, or actually the vast majority of those earthquakes are happening underwater down to 20,000 feet. That's the depth of the trench that Japan is sitting on the edge of. So all of this material is being collapsed or being shaken for the last 3 months. So could you help to all of this? That makes me wonder a little bit about something that Wernher von Braun said. Now, if you don't know who Wernher von Braun is, he was the father of Nazi rocketry and became the father of NASA's space program.
I am familiar with the name.
Okay, well, Wernher von Braun said they're going to try to weaponize space, and he gave, I believe it was Dr. Carolyn Rosen, instructions on how to, or to tell everybody about this. And the things that he said would happen with this, he said, these are all going to be essentially false flag attacks or things that were going to be falsely represented. He said, communism, the Cold War between the United States and Russia. Now, for a lot of people, that was real. And we had nukes flying in the sky 24/7 ready to go bomb Russia. I'm sure they had a similar program that was ready to attack us. But we made it through that. The next thing that von Braun said is that we would have terrorism, and we had 9/11. And after that, he said we would have rogue nations, and we've got, right after 9/11, we attacked Iran again, and then we went, I'm sorry, Iraq, and President Bush told us we've got the evil axis here of Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, and that they all needed to be dealt with. So the rogue nations were there. And then von Braun said, next they would use comets and meteorites. So they would use heavenly-type bodies as a false flag. And now we've got this thing with Eleanor, which is saying, oh, no, nothing's going to happen. And people say, oh, it's going to eliminate life on Earth. So what's the truth? Well, I started doing some research into DARPA, and DARPA is the military's black ops invention program, and they develop all sorts of secret weaponry coming out of DARPA. And you don't get a whole lot of information. They do have a website. You can go see some of the new things that they're working on. They're pretty old. Some are conventional. But they have mission patches. And if you look at their mission patches, and the mission patches is for the stuff that they send up into space, all the satellites and things that they have orbiting the Earth, and there are thousands of them, literally, between communications and spy satellites and satellites to study the world around us, essentially, there are literally thousands of satellites up there. And they need a regular control tower to keep track of everything. Now, if you look at the mission patches are very demonic and very world-controlling. They show things like a great dragon with the American flag in each wing holding the planet Earth. They show things like a reptile's eye, dark figures that are two-faced, and they're all geared toward these secret missions that they have in outer space. And von Braun didn't want space being weaponized, and what do we see now? Here's the thing. Somebody did the research, and they said that every time Eleanor aligns with the Earth, the Sun, and the Earth and the Sun, we've got a major earthquake here. We've got evidence that says, oh, well, this Harp activity that was seen at Japan, I'm saying it's all a bunch of crap. What we are seeing is the weaponization of space, and we have two dates, one in September, one in November, when the Earth and the Sun and Eleanor are going to all align again as Eleanor passes by us and as it leaves. We've got some situations going on here, and I believe that it's going to be an excuse to use these super weapons. So look out, Fukushima. You're going into the ocean. We got to get rid of that nuclear waste somehow. And guess what? Now they'll just dump it into the sea. We've got the New Madrid earthquake. Now that fault line has been rocking and rolling. And we've got Harp that's been all over the United States creating these weather patterns. So we have some really strange things going on, which could all be related back to creating quasi or false flag Earth events. Now, Fukushima goes into the ocean. California, or the west coast of the United States and Canada, is pretty much goodbye. and that will cause a lot of situations to move us closer to a one-world government. We're going to have to rely on the International Monetary Fund to get us out of that situation.
Well, give me a second. Let me cut in there. You're basically talking Book of Revelations here.
Well, that's where it brings us. It all comes back to the Book of Revelation on what things will happen. And here's an interesting thing. Fukushima is a nuclear release, and the first one that we had, which was really bad, that we knew about, was Chernobyl. Now, there's a prophecy in Revelation, it's Revelation 8, 10, and 11, as I recall, which talks about, it's the Wormwood prophecy, and interestingly enough, Chernobyl is the Russian word for wormwood. Prophecy says that the ocean, or that the fountains and the rivers would be turned bitter, and that men would die. And that's exactly what we see happening. All of this nuclear release that's coming out of Fukushima is polluted the whole northern hemisphere. It's not just Japan. It's the United States. It's Europe. It's Russia. It's China. If it's in the northern hemisphere, they're having nuclear radiation fall out of the skies on them, and there is no end in sight. The last thing I read, which was yesterday, he said that in order to get this under control, as Japan wants to, as they intend to, they have to invent the equipment to do it, and it's going to take them 10 to 15 years to invent the technology.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Pete. We're at the final minutes of 10 Minutes with Peter Kling. We're at like 8 or 9 minutes here. Tara's giving me a countdown. What's your final thoughts? You are saying the sky is falling.
Yeah, it's falling literally. It's falling radiation, and it's going to be falling some sort of super weapons, which are going to cause problems in the United States. Now, listen, I'm not going to say this is the end of the world, because there's a lot more that has to come. I intend to do a lot more episodes, but what I will tell you is this. Be smart. Take precautions. Prepare for some sort of an event. Store some food. Store some medical supplies. Have flashlights in your battery. Better yet, get a crank-up battery and get a crank-up radio. Be careful. Store simple things, beans, rice, things that will get you through a difficult time. The food in the grocery stores will only last 3 or 4 days.
Well, Peter, on that note, you know, I got to hit the Dollar General store pretty damn quick. I believe you have your own radio show coming up. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, where we can hear you?
Yeah, well, I can't give you the actual specifics yet. However, this is in association with Late Night in the Midlands and NSearch Radio, or the NSearch website. They're getting together. They're going to put on a 24/7 radio broadcast or podcast. And I'm going to have a show on that, which is about 2 hours, Monday through Friday, 5 nights a week. Joining me there, we're going to be doing a lot of this stuff. And I do encourage the listening audience to call in with questions and comments. The whole idea, the whole purpose of this show is to wake people up to the facts that we are being manipulated, we are under mind control, and we need to protect ourselves from all of this. On the global elite and the things that we are facing in the very near future. So I hope you do join me on once that is set up. I expect to be on the air in about 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Hopefully the show will be encrypted so the men in black can't find you.
The men in black have already been knocking on my door, damn it. They already know where I live.
That's just Harry Christmas. It's not the men in black. Final seconds. How can people find out more about you? I know you're on Facebook. Give them your website too, Pete.
The website is www.peterkling.com. Follow me there. There's great information. You can also hunt me up on Facebook, Peter Kling. I've got some friend room left. Come and join me. Follow what I post there. It's all very timely, and it's not just all doomsday. There's some good practical advice there. And, yeah, there's a lot of information about the prophecies there, because the prophecies are all coming about now on an unprecedented level. So we got to be awake. We got to be careful. We have to protect ourselves from what is coming. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. I wish everybody the very best, and I hope to talk to everybody again in the close future.
We certainly will, and everybody can find Pete on his Facebook, Peter Kling. Tara, you wanted to jump in and say something here?
Just saying hello to Peter, and wanted to thank him for joining us once again. I always look at your Facebook page.
That's
always
true.
Always on there.
Can't pry her off of it, believe me.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to coming back many times in the near future. And hopefully we can, I don't know if we can beat this, but we can survive it.
I feel the same way about this show. So, you know, until next week or a week after, I'll crank up the generator. We'll get the hamster running in the wheel and give you another call back.
Very good. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you very much, Joe and Tara.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Peter.
Again, I feel stupid as hell. He's done it once again. And it's not too hard for me to do. Peter has that effect on me. He also has the effect of garnering my attention on every word. Tara was a phenomenal 10, 11 minutes with Peter Kling. You know, we got Japan going to disappear, wipe out California, and we're going to turn into a new world order government. Sounds like revelations to me as I caught you know, Peter on it. What do you think about that, Tara? In the times we're living now, the skies are falling, Tara. Take cover.
I'm really open to a lot of different theories. I find this theory very, very fascinating, yet a little scary at the same time.
Totally. Yeah, scares me out of my wits.
Yeah, it keeps me very, very interested, though, because I always, you know, want to know what's next? What's going on? What's going to happen? How do we prepare for this?
He's a very cause and effect type of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, his cause and effect, he looks at world events, mm-hmm. and it just happens to fit prophecy, like the... you know, the German angle to it, which I'm very familiar with. I watched a lot of History Channel and everything like that. The German engineering, von Braun, you know, I knew exactly where he was going with that, you know, with the space race. And, you know, supposedly the Nazis had alien intelligence that they found and were actually going to kick our butts in World War II if we didn't beat them first. So he was dead on about that. Obviously, he knows his history, knows his research. But a new world order, you know, Japan's still around, but he's saying there's a new world order that's going to take that, you know, continent or island or wherever the hell Japan is out of the picture. I thought it was actually brilliant the way he focused on, hey, we got to get rid of this radiation. Some super hierarchy is dictating this. Dump it into the sea. It's actually, as morbid as it is, a brilliant idea. I'm not saying I want Japan to disappear. No, I'm not. I use Nikon cameras and Sony equipment. I need Japan around. But I'm not an extremist, you know. It's a very extreme result or situation to deal with a result that exists there today. And hopefully... maybe just misses the mark or someone changes their mind at the last minute. But who knows? Time will tell. And history will write it in the books. What do you think about that?
Well, times are changing. You know, everything changes. And it's just a matter of surviving these different changes. And some people are going to get hit harder than others. And we really should start paying attention, you know, to what's going on, how we can prepare, how we can protect ourselves and stay safe.
I'm more interested in surviving this radio show. That's all I'm focused on right now, you know. 60 minutes of pure terror. You know, the server's going to go down. I'm going to say something stupid, which, you know, which always happens.
Your sound effects are the terror.
I don't care. It's my version of harp. I'm honoring harp. I don't care. And speaking of sound effects, turn your headphones down. It is now time for Breaking Point. Again, we... welcome Gary Kanji to the show. This is going to be ongoing. You're going to get the truth. This is another almost pseudo Peter Kling. You know, Gary doesn't care. If it's bad news, he's going to tell us. You know, he's going to tell us all there is. He's not going to spoon feed us like so many other venues do. This is my show with my perspective on here, and Tara dabbles in there and tries to get me onto the spiritual path, and I'm the one going through the shortcut through the woods, like Little Red Riding Hood, who's going to get attacked. But that's the point of this show. You know, it's obviously to put out there a different view. I'm not going to do the same old, same old, same old. That's what it is. I mean, if this isn't original, if this isn't heartfelt, if we're not doing what we want to do as individuals, which Gary is going to, it's going to be one of his topics on Breaking Point. Tara, you actually stood in the wings and let me and Gary do our boiling points, which we just started. I did my intro from him. For him last week, and there was one thing you wanted to cut in, but I was running it, and we were running out of time. You didn't have a chance to cut in. You mentioned something about the research that Gary does. He's very good at his research. He knows what he's going after, or supposedly who he's going after when he does an EVP read-in. There was something you wanted to expand upon, but you didn't get a chance from last week's introduction with Gary, and which everybody can listen to on visionsradio.podomatic.com. All the archives are there, so it was a great show. I, you know, would prefer if someone would listen to it. Tara, you want to chime in on something before we introduce Gary for Breaking Point?
Yeah, Gary really made a good point when he was talking about do your own investigation, because, I mean, you go to these places and they feed you a legend. You're told certain things.
Just don't believe what everybody's telling you or what you've seen on television, et cetera, et cetera. Be your own investigator, you know, and see if you're coming up with the same thing. Is that what you're trying to say?
Right, and we did that with the Bobby Mackey's article written by Chris McGard.
Fantastic article, because Tara, for some very relevant points.
He found some very interesting discrepancies in his own research, and it was a fascinating article. It was just wondrous to see what can really be accomplished when you dig in and you get the information and just don't believe everything you hear.
God knows I don't. And on that note, we're going to introduce Gary. You want to say a little something about Gary's intro? You know, we met him. He was busting our balls to get to Hillview. And, you know, he learned of us from the magazine and everything. I think you were on Facebook or MySpace or some damn thing. He's like, come on up, come on up, come on up. And I was actually blowing it off. I really was, because I only have one day off. I'm like, I don't want to drive all the way to Newcastle. Thank God we actually gave in. We gave in, had a time of our lives, met one of our best friends. Been friends with him, what, 3-4 years now? Probably about 3 years, you know?
Yeah, and what I like about Gary's method of collecting EVPs is he's not a provoker, and he gets...
True, very true.
He gets some really good responses, and it's not by provoking.
I will break down and I will provoke because I get pissed. I have short temper, so, which you know.
But right. Yeah, Gary gets really creative when he, you know, goes after EVPs. And it's not like, you know, all the drama that you see on TV. I'd rather listen to Gary for a day than some of what I'm seeing on TV because, you know, he's asking them questions just like they're, you
relevant
know,
questions.
Still living.
Like
yeah.
People. Yes.
Yeah. Just, you know, just like he's having a conversation
always
with somebody.
Always for respect. Everything he's always done, he's always asked permission. He does favors. He plays games. Mm-hmm. Remember Jimmy who's leaving cigarettes? Except he wanted Jimmy, which was a Hillview Manor ghost. I believe that's the golfer. Was that the golfer, Gary? Yeah. And which you got some great EVPs on that, along with Dave Jones. That was a Dave Jones night. And I'm talking over my shoulder, Gary here. He's patiently waiting in the wings here. And yeah, the Jimmy, he came up with a game that, you know, if you say hello or tell me you're here, I'm going to leave you a cigarette. You know, I remember that. You whipped out the cigarette. Then you took it back. You didn't leave it there. I remember that. You took it right back. And there was a great one regarding the golf balls and everything. We'll have to get into that on another show when we're talking about EVPs. And the Joe Montana, remember that one, Gary? That was absolutely a great one, too. And like I said, Gary knows his shit. He knows who he's going after and who he talks to with utmost respect, just like Tara should be talking to me, but doesn't. Tara?
Well, he doesn't provoke, but he does use bribery, which always cracks me.
Bribery,
lots
okay.
of bribery yeah. going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it works. And on that note, I'd like to introduce our host, co-host, or tri-host, I should say. He's a tri-host here for Visions Magazine Radio's own Breaking Point, Gary Kanji. Obviously, Gary, I'd like to welcome you to the show once again. It was a blast having you last week. We're just feeling this out. You know, we're getting our sea legs here so far, and there's so damn much we can talk about. There really is. So many things that we have breaking points on that we don't even know where to start. So we may start with one subject and end on another. You just never know. We just see how it goes. And obviously, I want to thank you for making the drive from Newcastle all the way down to our luxurious studio setup here. You know, a one-bedroom apartment in East McKeesport, Pennsylvania, with a broken vacuum cleaner in the corner. And what's going to be, you said something about like paranormal superstars or the me generation we were just talking about before we started the show today. You have a big problem with the me generation paranormal investigators. Let's expand upon that.
Well, first of all, Joe, Tara, thanks for having me back. It's a blast, and your studio is kick-ass, let me tell you.
Love the bullseye up there, don't you?
Yeah.
357 Magnum right there, about 40 feet away.
Actually, this looks a lot like Howard Stern's studio.
I only wish. I wish I had that budget on there. Bubba Booey.
But, yeah, as you were talking, just to expand a little bit, the me generation, that's a breaking point for me also.
All right, tell me how. You know, what are you hearing out there? What really gets your goat that is just, you know, is someone just shoveling something out there that we're all trying to absorb and take as fact, but no one's calling it as bogus? Where are we going with this?
Well, it's just the, you know, everybody wants to be out there. Everybody, every investigation that people do nowadays, they think they got to put it on Facebook. Every EVP they get, they think they got to put it on Facebook or YouTube or everything else as in an attempt to get noticed. And that's when you got to ask the hard questions to yourself. It's, you know, why are you doing this?
Right.
You know, why are you doing this? I mean, we all have a collection of EVPs. We all have a collection of good photographs. And here again, you know, why? Where are we headed with this? Where are we headed?
Where are you headed with this? Where are you headed? What's your personal question? Because there's times, how many times have we had 1 o'clock in the morning discussions? You're saying the hell with this. I'm throwing in a towel. I'm sick of this. I mean, it gets to that point, you know, because it's just like this and this and this is just getting to me. You know, what keeps you going, you know, in your own personal quest and beliefs?
Well, what keeps me going is probably the same answer that you hear from a lot of people. You want the answers to the tough questions of, you know, is there something else after this life?
Okay.
And, of course, everybody wants those answers. But what keeps another thing?
Do you think we're getting those answers?
I don't think so. I really don't. It seems that everybody's doing the same things over and over again, just at different locations.
That's one thing you always talked about, is everybody is emulating someone else or some show or some method that someone all of a sudden pulled out of their ass and says, this is the next best thing. This will work. You know, this is a groundbreaker right here. And you haven't seen that to come to fruition at all.
No, not at all. You know, if these guys...
You bought gadgets at shows. It's like, damn, I just got built for $150. This is a piece of junk. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, I got every gadget probably known to ghost hunting community. But, yeah. You know, they really don't do anything. They really don't. I don't get excited because you get an EMF spike. That doesn't...
Right. That could be anything.
Doesn't do anything for
you. Someone could have farted in a room and set the damn thing off.
Right.
Not to cut you off, Gary, but, you know, when you and I go out, you're not strapped with... You brought two things when we went to the jail, if you recall. You brought your game cam that we left isolated. Remember that? You've had luck at Hillview. You said you had an experience where it flew down the hall. You use a game cam, and you use your DR-60. That's all you take. We've gone to locations, you and I ourselves, you just got that recorder, you know, and a flashlight so we don't kill ourselves. But that's all you've had was an EVP. So EVPs are obviously, I mean, that's the best you've come up with so far in your heart. It's just like, still don't know what the hell we're doing with it or what we got, but EVPs are your ground zero of something.
Well, to me, EVPs are, that's the last breakthrough in the paranormal investigative community, was the discovery of EVP.
Okay.
Even though when it was discovered, it wasn't, you know, a guy was, what, listening to birds out in his backyard or something?
No, I'm not really sure. I'm not a history buff. I failed history.
Let me rephrase this. What's the last breakthrough in paranormal investigative techniques that, you know, comes to recent mind?
As far as techniques, I don't know. Being newbies here, only doing this for about two or three years, me and Tara going out on investigations, and as well as along with you, I admit, I'm the first one guilty. I'll do the provoking based on what I've seen on TV. When I get short-winded and I get pissed, I'm not getting results. I'll do the provoking. I got the millimeters, I got all this, and it was all spoon fed into me. You have the advantage of being a more clear thinker, a better agenda. I'm here to report and have those same experiences. Sometimes it works, sometimes it fails, because I'm using the same gear as everyone else we see out there. I'm following maybe an erroneous lead. I'm following a band down an alley here.
Well, you know, the last breakthrough that comes to my mind that we've had was the discovery of EVP.
Okay.
And that was, and you know, that was how long ago. And since then, you know, there hasn't been anything. There's been a lot of attempts that I give a lot of people credit for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full spectrum photography, which
right.
I think is, you know, absolutely going nowhere. I mean, if it was going somewhere, it would have been there by now.
Okay.
And that's why I say full spectrum, bull spectrum. I think we need to start thinking of a partial spectrum instead of full spectrum. I've gotten some initial good results from just initial experiments with that. And so, you know, we need to think outside the box. We need to come up with some type of tool or a combination of tools that we're not currently using to help us further this field.
We need better minds than what we got out in the field coming up with this. We need more scientific community. We need legitimacy out there, don't we?
Well, that's because everybody's just doing what they see on TV. They're doing the same things, just at different locations, and making their little...
backyard barbecue. We need Wolfgang Puck in the mix here.
Well, everybody wants to make their little DVDs and put them for sale and things like that. And, you know, instead of really, you know, you hate to say it, but a lot of people, they want to chase fame. And I say, if you come out with some technique to where you get consistent contact, fame will chase you.
True. So, I would agree with that.
Right. So that's...
Well, one thing about fame chasing you, I'm glad you brought that up, because you had an experience. You told me to keep it top secret. You know, you didn't give me any locations, but you said somehow, and I don't even know how, it depends how much of this story you want to give away. The short version that I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, is you personally were contacted by the Amish community to do an investigation. I don't know anything about the results. You never shared any EVPs. I don't know the results, but you did tell me somehow, somewhere, I guess you made an announcement on Facebook, I had a really great case here and everything like that, then the network started hounding you. And really wanted to put the Amish, which are basically recluses in our neck of the woods in, you know, Lancaster County. I don't know where it is, but that's the Amish country as far as I know. Only but an hour and a half away from us. You know, stone's throw away. Boom, we got horses and buggies. You know, they're living and raising barns. But the networks were after your ass for this story. And you pretty much, you almost blew a gasket, if I'm not mistaken, on Facebook. And, you know, just the stories that you and I, you know, discussed back and forth. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, how they chased your fame and you rejected it.
Well, you know, everybody knows that the Amish are, you know, pretty, it's a very, very tight, close-knit community. And, you know, I felt humbled and privileged that they contacted me. And I suspect they contacted me because they felt they could trust me. So there was no way that I was going to betray that trust.
Do you have any idea how they learned of you? Or is it somebody that knows somebody? Or I don't know.
Well, there is a very prominent...
You can be vague. You can be vague.
There's a very prominent Amish community a lot closer than Lancaster County.
Okay.
That's
all you want to say?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Go ahead and tell us about the networks hounding your ass for this story.
Well, I got a call. I don't want to mention the network. I got a call, an initial call, and I was about as vague to them as I am with you, and they, you know, something new.
And those were your roles. I mean, they wanted this top secret. Is that not correct?
Well, they didn't have to say it, you know. They didn't have to say it, but
You felt it, right? Yeah. Okay.
Out of respect for them, I chose to do that.
Honor their wishes. Okay.
Right. Right. And so I was contacted, and they wanted to film, and I just thought that I better
set the record. Yeah.
Well, I better keep the respect that I earned amongst that community.
You said they were throwing some numbers at you.
Well, they you know, sweetened the pot every time I would say no. They sweetened the pot a little bit. Now here, you know. It wasn't, you know, very sweet deal. It was, I'm pretty fortunate I have a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So the numbers had to be pretty up there for
pretty substantial. It's like, okay, this is going to be a groundbreaker here, you know. This is going to life change me here.
Yeah, but right. But even then, I don't think...
a little comfort, you know, you had to give up your morals and your word.
Right, and
you were being bought off.
Right. I wasn't prepared to be, for my morals
used,
to be compromised.
Used?
Right, right.
And to this day, you stand by your story. I mean, you know what went on there. No one else does.
Right. And
were they happy with the results?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Were they surprised? Were they confirmed? What was their reaction? You don't have to go into what you found or how you found it or what methods you used. Based on what you presented them, what was their reaction? Or was this one person? Was this a bunch of people? Was it a community or what?
It was a couple of families.
Okay.
There was a couple of Amish families involved. And
they all expressed concern?
It was basically a confirmation of what they were telling me. And then we, you know, me with them together, we did some investigations on our own. Not paranormal investigations. After the initial paranormal investigation, then we dug and dug up some facts and things of that nature,
right,
to explain why it was happening. And then once we satisfied why the haunting was happening, then it subsided.
Excellent.
So they were thrilled, and I'm glad I could help them.
Well, wrapping up what we got here on Breaking Point right now, which is the me generation following all these para superstars and everything else, and no one being a free thinker. Well, I mean, this is not Nazi Germany here. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know, what's wrong with a little individualism? I mean, that's why I took on this radio show, so I can set it straight and get my common sense out there, you know, peppered with Tara's spiritual beliefs, of course. So we got to talk to everybody out there, right, Tara? Exactly. Gary, what do you think in conclusion? I mean, what needs to change? What would make you happy? What would make you get past your breaking point on the me generation of the paranormal?
If people just think for themselves.
Boy, you want something easy. Like,
Everybody got to think for themselves and just stop trying to do
follow
everything.
Follow the leader.
Yeah. You got to do. If everybody does what you see on TV, we're going to stay as stagnant as we are right now. Everybody, we got to think outside the box. We got to come up with different techniques, different tools. Everybody got to think for themselves.
We got to bring outside people in. I mean, some specialists. We need some real pros in here, I always felt.
Right, and you can't believe everything that a tour guy tells you on these, on these $1,000.
Well, we'll save that for another show because, believe me, you've been to a lot of places. We discussed that on your intro on the first show. On VMR 22 or 23. I forget how many damn shows we got already. Too many. And we'll get into that. Probably the locations. You know, we're going to be touching on locations. Are they hot or not? You know, but for $2,000, you can find out for yourself. There's a lot of things, devices, you know, that you and I always have. It's like, you know, we get some results, maybe not, but that's all for another breaking point. Gary, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to talking to you probably next week. We'll do another one next week, okay? Good. Hopefully, we won't get the big hook and dragging us off the stage here, and we'll get this back to the realm of the paranormal, and we'll quit bitching for a second, okay?
No problem.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
Again, we're going to change gears here again, and we're going to go on with the movie review section of VMR. Tara, what do we got this week?
Well, I'm going to review the movie Dear Mr. Gacy, and how I heard about this movie was from talking to the actor William Forsythe in person. He had a bunch of pictures on his table, and I pointed to one. I said, "What's this?"
You knew him from Deuce Bigelow as a detective, you know, disgruntled husband. I knew him as the sheriff. And what the hell is it called?
Devil's
Rejects. Thank you very much. Mind fart here. Sorry about that. Tara, go on. Very nice showman, by the way. Great gentleman.
Okay, well, he talked about this movie. You know, he was saying that it was actually disturbing, you know, all the research he had to do on John Wayne Gacy for this movie. It actually began to bother me. He said, "I acquired so much knowledge that I started to know things even the police didn't know, and it just disturbed him." He said, "I could write a book, but I didn't want to get that immersed in it."
Which is absolutely true, because after Tara and I reviewed the DVD, there's a special section, all the behind the scenes, and we see Bill Forsythe, friend of mine, I can call him Bill. Bill sitting down with one of the detectives that was on his ass. And he's just like, you could just see in his shot, you know, he's just absorbing all this and just is coming in and coming in. And he did immerse himself. And like I said, according to you, the story you told me, he has a hard time looking at this film because he really put himself in there. And I guess as an actor, he really didn't like what he saw. You know, he had the tools to pull it off, and we will say that. Go on, Tara.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about this movie.
Please do.
The producer is Gordon Lang, and the executive producer is Clark Peterson, who also produced the movie Monster. That was the movie that came out in 2003, starring Charlize Theron, and she won the Academy Award for Best Actress and the Golden Globe Award. It was about the serial killer. Eileen Wuornos.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Roger Ebert called the movie Monster one of the best films of the decade. It was impressive. They went a little bit overboard on her love relationship because they really could have fit in more of her upbringing, which I studied, you know, a lot about her. And they really should have went into her childhood more because that was instrumental.
That was the genesis of her becoming a serial killer, was her childhood. And I totally agree with you. I think Charlize Theron did a very good job. The makeup is absolutely incredible. If you see news footage on YouTube of Eileen Wuornos and what they did with Charlize Theron, beautiful woman, to turn her into Eileen Wuornos, which is just like not a beautiful woman, it's amazing. The makeup, the transformation is great. She had her character down. But I would disagree with Mr. Ebert right there. I don't think it's the best film of the, decade?
I own it. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it is. But it had the potential to be fantastic. And I think what they did is they took this ridiculous, bad story, you know, of a terrible life of a serial killer and compressed it into a nutshell just to make it a theatrical film. Would you agree with that? Had to throw out a lot and just get the film made.
I wouldn't put it that way, but, you know, they shortcutted the storyline. There was, since I knew so many of the details, I get disappointed with just about every serial killer film there is because I know a lot of the details that they just decide to leave out when I find...
And Tara can back that up. Based on Visions Magazine Online.com, your Zodiac serial killers.
Yeah, it's called The Astrology and Methodology of Serial Killers, and I've written about... Eileen Wuornos was one of the ones I wrote about for that.
And what's fascinating is after we watched this movie, Gacy was one of the serial killers you did not cover, but your interest grew because of this film. Now, that's what a film should do. Go on, Tara.
That's absolutely true. Now, this film was interesting and unique because it was based upon a book written by Jason Moss called The Last Victim. I just ordered that book, by the way, and I'm anxious to get it.
And we just found this out as we're watching the end credits. It's like, we thought this was a fantasy, a what-if situation based on Gacy. And I look at Tara, Tara looks at me, I go, Tara, look, this is based on a book. This actually happened.
Okay, now when Attorney Moss was 19 and was a student at the University of Nevada, what he did was he started corresponding with some serial killers, one of which was John Wayne Gacy.
And he was doing this as his term paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a big grade for him, so he was reaching out to serial killers.
Right. He turned his experiences into a book in 1999, became a bestseller. The book and the movie talk about his visit to Gacy 2 months before Gacy's execution in 1994. Gacy was actually age 52 at the time of his death. This was a big jail scene where he goes and makes a visit to him and gets kind of roughed up by Gacy, but we're not going to give
it. It is creepy. It is really creepy because Gacy's a manipulator, okay? Mm-hmm. And we don't want to give the film away. I want you to watch it. They finally, the law student, under the premise of manipulating Gacy is manipulating the law student at the same time. And there is a winner, there is a loser. And it's just really interesting when you put those two together. It's almost like Batman and the Joker in The Dark Knight. Would you agree with that? It was intense. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah. And because this movie did have an original concept that impressed me, we were shown, basically Jason Moss's journey of befriending a serial killer. And I became immersed in it. I liked it. I wasn't bored at all. No dull moments in this movie.
Mm-mm.
The casting was perfect because I looked up pictures of the actual people, Gacy and even Jason Moss. Everybody was casted.
They got pretty damn close. Mr. Forsythe makes a very convincing Gacy. Mm-hmm. He really does. Mannerisms and everything. And there's just a couple scenes where he just lets himself go. You could tell he's throwing it out there. How goofy or ridiculous or outlandish or disturbing the scene may be, he pulled off the brakes and he let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
Now, they made this movie how I would do it. They kind of minimized the gore, which is good because you don't get traumatized by all that. They have little flashes, which is kind of necessary to remind you, hey, this guy is a maniac. He takes
exactly.
Lives.
To be clear, we didn't know what the hell we were watching here after the first 5-10 minutes. I thought it was going to be a whole reenactment of the Gacy murders. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
This isn't it. He's already in jail. He's committed the crimes. He's on death row, and all of a sudden, you got this law student who wants to get into his mind.
Right, right. Now, William Forsythe, I really felt he mastered his role portraying John Wayne Gacy because he has to play a couple different people. John Wayne Gacy is a Pisces and they can shift gears kind of quickly, and he does. He shifts gears from being charming to sinister, and he was great with that depiction.
He's
very
definitely
convincing.
Commanding. That voice alone, because there was a lot of phone calls back and forth out of the prison. He was buying off prison guards and getting more freedoms and humanly possible for a serial killer. He's basically living, almost in a rent-free apartment in jail with what was going on with the mills and all the contraband that would be in his room and everything like that, plus phone calls. And it was just like, wow. He's You just listening to the voice and knowing as the story goes on, each one is playing each other.
Right. And John Wayne Gacy was labeled a psychopath. He is not a, he was not a stupid person. He would probably be considered above average intelligence. He was studying law while he was in jail, filing appeals. He was on death row for 14 years. So he kept himself alive for 14 years, tying up the legal system.
Exactly. It was appeal after appeal after appeal. So, yeah.
But yet he was took a lot of lives, 33 lives he took.
Yeah, young lives, young male lives.
Yeah, the sickest of the sick.
Pretty much. So how are we wrapping this up here, T?
I will give this a 5-skull rating because, like I say, it was original. The casting was great, kept me engaged. It was just entertaining, well done.
Again, that was Dear Mr. Gacy. It was released in 2010. It is on DVD. And I this is one of those, again, rare times where I don't know if I'd give it 5 stars. I might give it 3.5, 4 stars, just the way I like films to be made. I always think things could be done better. I think William Forsythe is the reason to watch this. The surprise of the story. You think you're going to watch one movie, and you're not. You're watching something totally different. And then at the end of the film, you actually see Mr. Moss, the real Mr. Moss, on the old Lisa show, discussing his events on serial killers. It's scary. And there was a little history with Mr. Moss, the writer that wrote the book that this film is based on, about his death. Terry, you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah.
This guy got really, he went in there for a term paper, and this guy almost, and I don't want to put words in Terry's mouth or just, you know, put out statements that are not founded, but he got pretty messed up after that.
Yeah, a number of years. Okay, now his book became popular in 1999, so some time passed. Fast forward to 2006, June 6th of 2006, he took his life.
What does that date represent?
666, Mark of the Beast, devil's number.
Wow.
And he was studying Satanism because he was corresponding with Ramirez.
Robert Ramirez.
Yeah.
And who believes himself to be the devil.
Yeah.
Remember the guy that had the... what do you call it? The pentagram in his hand. You know, he looked like a young, crazy Manson. Yeah, that weirdo.
What he did was he, Jason Moss, the writer, he shot himself in the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
A terrible loss. It's just like, it's amazing, you know, and it's, I think, the first film that I've ever seen is like, wow, you know, I'm looking at this as entertainment purpose. I want to see John Wayne Gacy just be cruel and evil and everything like that. Then all of a sudden, it's like, shit. This is real. This is, you know, the real deal. Of course, Gacy died and everything like that. It took him a long time to die. His injection took a little while. It just wasn't off in 5 minutes. It was like, you know, a good long time. They almost screwed it up, I believe. But then, you know, the effects of meeting a serial killer, which you and I, you know, I mean, if we had our, you know, bucket list of things to do would be to talk to Manson. Maybe we should really consider that because it was too much for him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't realize how much of an impact somebody that sick in the head can have on you because, you know, he was telling him to do things and, you know, trying a lot of manipulation on him. And I still wonder if this Jason Moss even realized what he was dealing with.
And it's all just based on a carnal instinct. That's all it is. I mean, they're just evil people. I mean, it comes down to that. I believe that for a fact. You're just wired that way. Either you can be a, you know, the first row violinist, you can be Michelangelo, or you can be John Wayne Gacy. It's all in your wiring. And that's pretty much where I came away with this. There's no changing this guy, no rehabilitating him or anything like that. That's all there is to it. You know, he can turn it on and off, play Prince Charming 1 minute, you know, cut your throat the next. And it's, Definitely worth watching. You think you're watching an entertainment film? Believe it or not, you're not. You're kind of watching a documentary. Would you agree with that, Tara? Presented theatrically.
A little bit. It could be a little bit documentary-like, only because it is based on, you know, actual events. And when I read the book,
I'll know... And real people. You know,
yeah, when I read the book, I'll know how accurate they really portrayed it. And I'm always optimistic that they will, but I haven't found any yet that really, you know, were accurate. I'm hoping this one, maybe I hold some hope for this one. We'll see.
What's really wild is after the film, I mean, Tara's doing a research for this movie review, and she's keeps coming on Gacy and Moss information. I'm there like, Tara, we got to get back to the film. And Tara started getting engrossed in the Gacy story, which was a little, sorry, Tara, pull it back a little bit. We got a movie review. You're not reviewing Gacy's serial killing history here. And that's the power of a good movie. Tara?
Well, I'm looking at it from an astrology angle as well. John Wayne Gacy has the same date of birth, not the year, but the month and the day as my daughter.
Ooh.
March 17th, yes. So I look at it from an astrology angle, so I'm even adding that on top of it.
That makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Eileen Wuornos was also a Pisces, so I always want to know, is there a connection there, you know?
Well, we're not saying all Pisces are serial killer nuts. Don't get us wrong here. This is just two prime examples of Pisces who are killer nuts.
No, because you can use your natural born gifts. Everybody is gifted in a certain way with their astrology sign. They have certain traits, and you can use those traits for good or for evil. And it's almost like Pisces can really carry it to the extreme.
Exactly. And again, that's Dear Mr. Gacy. You can get it on Netflix. You got it on Netflix, is that correct?
I did. Good old Netflix.
There you go. And we will have additional movie reviews in the upcoming weeks, of course. But definitely, it's almost a rent-to-own. You know, if you like serial killer stories and true-life crime stories, this is a keeper. Right, Tara?
Yeah, it might be something you want to add to your collection if you know, it was good. It was well made. It's very well maybe something you want to have and, you know, keep that.
Exactly. All right, Claire with Dave, we're going to go a little long tonight. All right, the next film that Tara and I saw, I ordered this on demand on, I believe it was HBO, is Hall Pass. Let me just say, I haven't laughed this hard since Dumb and Dumber, and I don't like comedies, but, you know, if you're a guy, you're going to love this. Tara, do you want to tell them a little bit about the premise of Hall Pass? I'd like a Hall Pass. Can I get a Hall Pass?
Okay, so, well, we're not married, Joe.
I'm waiting for the yes or no.
We're not married, so it's not really.
I'll take that as a yes. Okay, continue.
If I get one, too, it goes both ways.
Well, it did in the movie. Go on.
Yeah, and the women got lucky, too. Anyway.
Horrors.
I guess got to the point in their marriage where... Oh boy.
Well, Owen Wilson got busted at looking at another woman's ass.
Okay, yeah. And the other guy was pleasuring himself in his car, and it was just getting ridiculous. And the women just said, you know what? Just, you know, we're going to be a week off of marriage. And
you're so sex obsessed. Get it out of your system. And more than likely, you're going to come back home.
Right. And just all the maneuvers and the craziness that goes on when they try to get these women, it's just really funny.
Let me put this for the record. I am no fan of Owen Wilson's nose. It is disturbing to watch. But I'll tell you what, the film actually had me within the first 5 minutes. He's talking like a typical husband has been, you know, married for 5-10 years, kids all over the place. He's trying to get laid and he can't do it because the kids want bedtime stories. And he's basically ready to blow. In essence, he reached his breaking point. And, you know, the film continues. You know, there's a band of warriors that go out and a lot of episodes happen. We don't want to give it away because it is damn funny. Just let it unfold upon you. Tara had a favorite scene in the film regarding a close-up of Owen Wilson's face. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Okay, now, without giving
this is not all for the guys. There's a couple shots there for the ladies, too.
Okay, well, he goes to the gym, and something really odd happens at the gym, and almost peed
himself. He was rescued. He fell asleep in a jacuzzi.
No, don't give it away.
Well, he did, but what happened what happened afterward is hilarious. I'm like, it's just great. It's almost as good as the Dumb and Dumber bathroom scene. It's just hilarious.
It was crazy. I almost peed myself.
It is true. I had sponges standing by.
I couldn't stop laughing.
But, you know, it was definitely worth it. I mean, sit there with your girlfriend, your wife, and watch it. You know, I mean, it's funny. You know, we were both laughing at it. You know, it was a lot of guy humor, you know, and it gets a little girly at the end and everything. But I recommend it. I liked it. You know, it was worth a, you know, $4, $5 rental. It was fun. I had some damn good laughs on there. And Tara almost almost pissed herself, so that's worth $5 to me.
Yeah, it was funny without Ben Stiller even being in it, because I liked a lot of his comedy. I like Ben Stiller.
Well, that's one.
Dodgeball, you can't beat that. That was a good movie.
Forget it. You love your Zoolander. Zoolander. Tara owns Zoolander.
Zoolander.
It's enough reason to get a hall pass.
Zoolander had both Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson. It was a great, great... It was like a good comedy team. That competing models who were like... had nothing upstairs. They portrayed him as being really stupid, doing all these dumb things, and it was so
yeah.
Funny.
Well, it made my sphincter clench for the 90 minutes it was on. It was horrible.
Zoo no, it wasn't.
PU.
Don't listen
whoever
to Joe.
PU.
Don't listen to Joe.
Huh? It's my radio show. They have no choice.
Well, it depends. You want to take the female opinion or the male opinion?
Pick well, one. It's based on Visions Magazine, so it starts off with the female opinion, then I correct you. And we make it make sense.
You try.
I try very hard. I keep failing, but I keep trying. Every week. And I swear to God, I wish at least one person would listen to me. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for every damn thing out there. And on that high note, say goodnight, Tara.
Goodnight, everybody. Thanks for joining us.